Welcome to the Binge Media Fantasy Movie League podcast. I'm Kupka. Over there is PJ the intern. Jag Valley's off smashing it to nude pictures of, I don't know who this week, but I'm sure some patriot out there who's showed up naked that he's whacking it too. So, especially with football season right around the corner, I'm sure that's all he's got on his mind. So, what's going on, sir?
Not much. I'm excited to be back on the podcast. I feel like it's been quite a while since I've talked to you guys about this, because I missed last month's BMFML podcast due to family vacations and whatnot, doing my own Ammon thing, I suppose it is. So yeah, just kind of looking forward to talking about what's been happening, and we're kind of wrapping up the summer here, so it kind of gives us something to discuss a little bit.
Yeah, we might as well just kind of get right into that. It doesn't, feels like summer's definitely over. August, kind of a shit show, in my opinion.
Yeah, it seemed, when we were looking at movies or looking at actors back in February and March, I think there were a couple movies that were supposed to be in August that ended up getting pushed, one of which was Baby Driver. Got rescheduled to June, and then Dark Tower got moved into at least the end of July, and obviously we've seen what that does or has done.
Yeah, that was brought up. Somebody did bring up Baby Driver specifically, mentioning that was pushed up from August to June, and like I said then, I think August is just the new dump month. I mean, you got a lot of shit going on. It is end of summer. Families are taking the last vacations before kids go back to school. College kids are moving back. You got football season coming up, so preseason's going on. Fantasy drafts are usually on the weekends because you psychopaths like to get together for that shit. So there's really not a market. I mean, like you said, Dark Tower came out first weekend. Kind of should have been midsummer blockbuster, I would think, for a movie of what that should have been. Instead, it's sitting after the end of August, 3 weeks, top 10, 19 points. So that's what we call a giant failure.
Absolutely. And that's I don't know in the past, maybe I haven't been paying attention, but is it typical that we get a weekend, like a Labor Day weekend, with no releases at all? Or whatever, you know, I don't think there's anything coming out this weekend.
That's a great question, and that's one that a lot of people have been asking lately, and I don't recall there ever being a weekend like Labor Day where there wasn't at least something intriguing, and really the only thing that's out there are re-releases. I mean, even I'm kind of sitting here like, I should probably go see Close Encounters on the big screen, just because that's not something I'll really ever be able to do again, especially, you know, in a, it's not a 4K release, but it's like an upgraded version of it. So, you know, and I did talk to Jack yesterday as we record this, and he said he saw a trailer, he went to see Wind River, saw a trailer for this beforehand, and it kind of sold him, like, I need to fucking go out and see this, so.
Now, that's what you bring up, Wind River. Now, is that getting a wide release this weekend, or was it, because I know it's kind of, it's been dropping sporadically.
Yeah, I don't know, it seems to me like it's a slow rollout. I saw it at a couple of my theaters, but really, I had no interest or time to really get out to the theater, so I wasn't paying too close attention. But I believe it's still out. Let's see if it's still playing anywhere in my area. But I know it was last weekend. I know it was a little bit more. And that's the thing about a release like this. You get the fucking limited shit in L.A. and New York. Plays there for a week or two. And then they slow roll it in, you know, cities like Chicago and maybe Dallas and, you know, somewhere in Minnesota maybe. But
it's like, based on last weekend's box office, it was in 2,000 theaters last weekend, and that was the big jump. So it went from, like, 500 to 2,000 last weekend. Now, I don't know if it'll get another push, you know, another maybe 500 to 800 theaters.
Maybe.
But I guess it really depends on word of mouth and kind of what kind of hype it's getting. I mean, here it's great.
Yeah. he said good things. I'm not going to spoil anything more, just in case he does review it on a binge cast or something. But it brings up an interesting question. What do they deem a wide rollout? Like, what is the minimum number of screens a film's going to show on in order for it to be deemed a wide release? Do you have any idea?
The number 3,000 sticks in my head, but that may... But I don't know, because when you go to the release schedule, like on Box Office Mojo... Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, okay, so for September 8th, next weekend, it shows Home Again, this romantic comedy, as a wide release. And then it shows it as the release as 4,000 plus screens. So obviously there's some, I don't know, there's some stipulation in there that for it to be wide versus, because, I mean, 4,000, I mean, you can't get much bigger than that. I mean, anything over 4,000 is essentially a wide release. So there must be some kind of detail, some box that you check or something that deems it a wide release versus just the numbers.
Well, if Wikipedia is truthful in its statement, because, you know, we are sitting in front of these wonderful internet machines. way off. How many theaters in a wide release? Wide release in the American motion picture industry refers to a film playing nationally as opposed to a few cinemas in cities such as New York and Los Angeles. Specifically, a movie is considered to be a wide release when it is in, wait for it, 600 or more theaters in the in the United States and Canada.
Oh, and Canada. Wow. So, yeah, I guess...
But that goes... You were kind of on the path just the wrong way. When you say 4,000 is the maximum, you got to think it would be a lower number than that, but I would have never guessed 6,000. I would have been, like, in your boat, like 3,000, maybe 2,500. But 600 to be a fucking wide release.
Yeah, well, and maybe that's a ploy, you know, by the distributor. Not like a ploy, but saying, like, hey, we're a wide release, even though we're only going to be on... 1,000 screens or something.
Oh, that would be 12 theaters in every state. So that kind of makes perfect fucking sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's...
Because if you balance out for states like Rhode Island that only need like a half a theater because they're so fucking small, and then give, you know, a couple more to Montana.
Yeah, that's crazy, though. But that's what... I mean, I don't like traveling more than 5 minutes.
To oh, my exactly. Place. I'm so lucky I got two within the same distance.
Yeah, exactly. Same with us. I mean, I have one literally down the street. It's a little bit of an older theater, but to be able to go in there on a Friday night and not have to sit arm to arm with everybody is pretty amazing. But I wouldn't think that 12 theaters a state seems quite low. But hey, I guess they're just saying, like, hey, it's available for you. You got to go find it. But it is a wide release, and this is what we're doing. So. Right.
Cool. All right.
So anyway, so nothing coming out this weekend.
Nothing coming out this weekend. And that also brought up the concern that a certain movie was going to three-peat. Being The Hitman's Bodyguard, which apparently isn't so good from what people have been telling me.
Yeah, this I have written down here in my notes, is The Hitman's Bodyguard really going to be the first three-peat number one box office hit? And from everything that I'm reading, it probably will be, unfortunately. But the funny thing with that is that movie, as we saw from last week when we updated the score sheets, that movie has a lot of the key extras in it. You've got like Ross Carter and Deborah Rock and all these people that nobody knows, but a lot of people have on their team that they're just getting tens upon tens upon tens to their score. Stuff is definitely shifting, as we saw, Kupka. You officially have lost your number one ranking.
That's all right. I'm still hanging my giant ball sack over Chad C's face right now. So, at least for now.
Yep, he's got a ways to go because I mean, he's still 130 points back from you in the Sasquatch division.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I spoke to a previously, and but it's shit like this, like this surprise month where what you expected could fucking come crashing down or, you know, spin in your favor. So it's going to be a great end of the year for sure. September will heat things up, but the last quarter is going to be fucking fun.
Yeah, and I think it's going to come down to one of those movies that these unexpected movies in October, typically, like maybe Blade Runner, one of these movies that nobody's expecting that's going to give somebody this big, like, 30-point push that they weren't expecting to get.
Let's take a look. Would think the movies that are going to make the biggest impact is going to be November, because those are usually start of the Oscar bait, and you get that long run going into the holidays. First off the bat, there is Thor, Ragnarok, November 3rd. Only real competition is Bad Moms Christmas.
All things considered, about whatever you think about those movies, they could actually... I mean, it won't compete against Thor, but in the upcoming weeks, it will probably be taking some of those points from Thor and everything else that comes out, because those shitty, you know, R-rated mom comedies have a tendency to do that.
Well, and then you get the following weekend, Daddy's Home 2. And a cartoon called The Star, which looks like A Christmas Story, which I don't know if that'll be pushed or not. Following weekend is when it gets interesting. Well, actually, the following two, because then you get Justice League and then Coco. And Murder on the Orient Express. That's when it's all over. It goes back to you're getting one fucking week, and you're going to have to battle in the fucking box office because you're getting all the good shit again.
Right. And that's what, you know, we saw happen over the summer. You know, these movies that were actually pretty good. So, like, War for the Planet of the Apes, for instance. Really good movie, but it was competing up against Spider-Man, and then had to deal with Dunkirk on its back end. So War for the Planet of the Apes, really good movie, but it just didn't get the push that, you know, people were hoping for based on where it was released. So something like, you know, Justice League, or, you know, maybe Thor only gets a 2-week run and then it's out of the top 10 within 4 weeks. You know, I mean, it probably won't happen that way, but maybe you're down at the 7-8 mark for Thor, you know, by Thanksgiving.
Right. It's very possible. And that's kind of fucked up. Looking at the movies for the year, what did you think the average of a decent box office was going to be? I think we touched on it previously, 50 mark, a little bit lower, because there's some fucking flops here, for just like you said, well, that and being shitty movies, but even Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I still think that's low for that.
Yeah, oh, for sure. When I go through my kind of analysis, I like to say that anything over, like, 30 points is something kind of worth looking at. You know, what I think will score 30 points. But then, yeah, you look at something like... Transformers or War for the Planet of the Apes that scored 26 and 24 points, those are the ones that are kind of the killers where you're expecting something more from those. But I think anything over like 35 is respectable, but if it's a blockbuster type movie and you're not over 40, then I think it's disappointing.
Yeah, I think you're right. Looking at these numbers and kind of going back to last year, too, the 35 is your baseline. 45 is definitely where you want to be. Anything above is kind of bonus. And then anything over 55 is really your top-tier shit. You nailed it right there. We had a few of those so far this year. We've had, well, fuck, Beauty and the Beast, 80 fucking points.
Yeah.
80 fucking points. Guardians, 58. Fate, 55. Wonder Woman, 66. That's probably the shocker of the year. That's a fucking big movie. And then Dunkirk's 55 is fucking surprising to me.
Well, and it was what, 6th last week, so it's probably got another, I think it's got another 5-6 points in there. I mean, it could hit the 60 point mark by the end of its run.
I did not see that. I saw this as a 35 point movie for sure. I thought it was so niche and wow.
Yep.
Fucking absolutely. Crazy.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I had it as my like movies to, you know, kind of on the bottom end of, you know, something that's going to make money, but I thought it more on that, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean type thing where, you know, but now you're at 50 points and it's still cooking. And that's, like we said, it's thanks to that, the shitty August and Dark Tower not doing anything and then nothing. You know, I had written down some of these flops. One of these, at least box office flops, not game related, but that came out right after Dunkirk was the Catherine Bigelow movie, The Detroit, which only made $16 million, which is a huge flop. And, you know, not that it was going to be a $100 million weekend movie, but that was just another one of those competing movies that didn't push Dunkirk out of that, you know, top five those first 3 or 4 weeks. So
that movie, I feel, was released at the very wrong time. That seems to me either like a February movie or an October movie.
Yep, I was just going to say October. That's where I would have put it out. It's more kind of Oscar bait, end of October, middle of October.
Yeah, the tone is darker. It's not a, you know, it's not a bright movie, and you're releasing it in fucking July. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. So, yeah, other than that, just looking at these, I mean, everything...
We only have three movies left in play. We only have Thor, Justice League, and Star Wars. Star Wars basically guaranteed 30, because I don't see it not getting the three weekends. Records broken. I don't know if it'll get any of that. It'll get the bonus weeks at number one, so 35.
Yeah, but I don't think it'll surpass the records that Force Awakens broke.
No, because that's it needs to break records, otherwise the max points for Star Wars is going to be 35.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's...
we'll have some, there will be some magazine covers, I think.
That'll be actor-related, not movie-related.
It's not for the movie, it's only for the actors or actresses.
Right.
So, but yeah, other than that, I mean, yeah, those are the three movies left for people's movie picks. Now, what else coming out through that September, October area do we think are, you know, going to push people's teams? So we've got Golden Circle, right? Kingsman.
Is that really the first one, though? Like, I'm looking at these movies coming up starting in September 1st, and I don't... Does anyone have I feel like the teacher may be there. Or maybe I just saw that one come up a few times. But yeah, the fucking Kingsman is the first movie that's actually going to score anybody's points.
I believe so. Yeah, I mean, other than what's already sitting there now. But yeah, it's something like It or... I don't even... What is this Home Again movie? I don't even know. Is that Reese Witherspoon? I don't think anybody's going to have anything in that. I don't remember seeing that. That American Assassin movie. Is that Tom Cruise movie is the 15th? I think there's a couple people that have that.
American Made, yeah. Yeah. I believe I'm one of those. Yeah, because of Dom Hall Gleason.
And other than that, I think that's it till we get into October. And even in October, it's Blade Runner. A couple voice actors in My Little Pony. Oh, and then Geostorm.
Yes. Geostorm is where it is for...
that movie's been sitting on, like, the list of actors for, like, 3 years now. I don't know if it's been pushed because it's that bad or if they're just been waiting for the right time, I guess.
But look at that weekend, though. Like, Insidious 4 and... Geostorm, like that might, and Wonderstruck, which maybe, but the following weekend's where it's at. Is that the Cloverfield? Is that the official release date of the Cloverfield movie? Is that like legit?
I thought I heard. Didn't somebody just say that it was getting pushed? I don't. Where are you looking right now?
IMDb.
I'm looking at Box Office Mojo, and I don't see it like under their release dates.
Release date announced. Just announced a new Cloverfield, which will premiere October 27th, 2017.
Hmm.
And that was from CinemaCon on March 28th, 2017. Well, and I mean, think about it. The motherfucker just comes out of nowhere and goes, hey, guess what, guys? New movie right. coming out, and everybody goes see it. So,
this weekend.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there's not a whole lot. You know, there'll be some people that over the next month that score some points. Dunkirk will keep pushing.
Sorry, I need to stop you real quick and go back back to October 27th. That's actually, people need to go to the fucking theater that weekend, because that is Halloween weekend, and you actually have two fucking horror movies in the goddamn theater. Like, this hasn't happened, I can't even tell you when.
Well, I mean, we get Annabelle in the middle of August, right? It's, although the Saw movies have always been good about it.
Yep.
And typically, I think the paranormal activity movies were also good about it, but everybody else doesn't give a shit.
But
everybody
they were early. They were like the first week in October. Like, we get Insidious October 20th, and then we get those two the last weekend. Like, that is a good lineup for, The Snowman in October. You have any interest in that movie?
I don't know. I mean, it looks a little cheesy to me. I mean, I've watched
bad trailer.
I didn't think
bad trailer.
You know, I'm all good for I'm good for a good thriller, you know, kind of psychopath murderer, but it just seemed a little cheesy to me. Maybe I'll go back and watch it again or watch the second preview.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to see another trailer, because I feel like the first one gave too much away. So if I'm right in that and they show something different that may confirm my suspicions, then it's just like, why the fuck bother?
Yeah, but as far as theater going goes as well, I'm a big pussy when it comes to that shit, so I don't go to the theater to get myself scared anymore. I'm over that.
Really?
Yeah. It's I stay away from that, so.
All right. What about Cloverfield though? You'll go see that.
Oh yeah. No, okay. I'm all in for those. Love 10 Cloverfield Lane. Just like the other guys, Cloverfield was great, great surprise back in, God, what was that, 2011 was when Cloverfield came out?
Yeah, I hated that fucking movie when it came out. Hated it. Yeah. Nitpicked the shit out of it, disgusted me, and then I rewatched it a couple of times. I was like, you know what, it ain't bad.
And then watched it with the commentary from the guys, and even better.
No, I never watched it with it, but I think it was their commentary that made me go back and rewatch it. Because it was, like, two other perspectives of the movie and looking at it a different way. And it was kind of just a more serious, schlocky, fucking old-school sci-fi flick. So,
right. Yep.
You really didn't realize the genius of J.J. Abrams until Super 8. And that movie's fucking, God, that train scene is still the fucking greatest.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I gotta rewatch that soon.
Anything else? I mean, wrapping up the summer months. Anything else that? What about just like, maybe not for our game, but just the box office numbers in general? I was looking. There were only 11 movies that hit the 100 million mark, which, going back from the last like 10 years, it's only happened one other time with 11 movies. Like, it's the low end. And I think that if you read a lot of the articles, everybody's saying that this summer has been kind of a flop for movies.
Yeah. That seems to be that way. And I think it has to do with this August. I mean, this August was shit.
Right. And yeah, even last August, say what you will about Suicide Squad, but it was a big hit through August. And this year, it's just, they were saying last weekend was one of the worst summer weekends, like, in
decades. Oh, yeah. 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 Long time.
But it was, yeah, like something in 20-some-odd years last weekend, which obviously, like we talked about, Hitman's Bodyguard was your leading movie, which isn't going to do anything for anybody. But so, yeah, we had Wonder Woman, $407 million, 407 million, Guardians at 389, and Spider-Man at 320. Those are the three that were over 300. And then, surprisingly enough, even though it didn't really reflect in our game, the fourth highest grossing movie this summer was Despicable Me 3. And that was at 250 million. So, those little minions still are pulling in lots of dough. And then I was also looking at the flops, the actual gross flops, and Detroit was at only at 16 million, like I said, but I mean, it is what it is. But King Arthur and Valerian both ended up with 39 million in the box office, and those are two pretty major flops, I think, for those studios. And some people really were high on Valerian, and I just never saw it. It just never interested me one single bit, and obviously,
it's beautiful to look at. It's a weird sci-fi story. The leads just didn't work. There was miscast there. Or it just adds to the kind of schlockiness of the story. It's, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I'm going to watch it again just to see if I missed anything, or, you know, maybe I didn't hate something that I should have. But it's definitely nice to look at, that's for sure. The opening is really fucking good. It's really cool. So I'd see it if only for the visuals.
Yeah, and that's, you know, some people that, you know, for me, who's limited movie going, you know, throughout the summer, you know, it's, unfortunately, I'm not going to go to the theaters to see something for the visuals. You know, I'm going to pick and choose movies, which a lot of people are as well. And that's, I mean,
no, I was out of town on business, so I had nothing to do when it was playing. So that's the only reason why I went. And it was supposedly supposed to be in Dolby Atmos, but it wasn't truly. So I was a little pissed off about that. But let me ask you, Alien Covenant made $74 million. You think that is better than it should have?
Worse? I think it's right in line. We discussed it back in August when it first came out, right? That it was... That Prometheus and the Prometheus opened at what, like 40 to 50 million, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And Alien Covenant opened about 36. So it's probably on the lower end. I would have thought maybe it would do like 90. But the fact that it got somewhat shit on, you know, some people liked it, some people didn't. It just didn't bring in people from the outside, right? I mean, you get those, the fans, the Alien series fans that are going to go see it no matter what. But then if you're kind of an outsider just looking for a movie to go see, if you're not hearing that it's any good, you're going to pick something else to go to. And that's the difference between it making 75 and making 100. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking at all these others. I mean, Transformers, Cars 3, it's kind of a, you know, only 149 million for Cars 3.
That should be closer to 200.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it would have done better.
That should have been near 200. Kong should have been near 200. Pirates should have definitely been 200. Dunkirk at 174 is fucking ridiculous. It's goddamn ridiculous. It's awesome. Get Out, still at number 9. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
The Boss Baby at number 10. That's one of the biggest shockers of the year for me, not just the summer but the fucking year. And it wasn't a bad movie. Like, it's actually, if you haven't seen it yet, it's not bad.
I've seen it, maybe I'm a little tired of the movie because I've seen it about 800 times with my kids, but I wasn't overly thrilled with it. I thought it was okay, but obviously the people have spoken. I mean,
you also see a lot more of these movies than I do, so I have, you know, when I see a movie like this, it's like, that wasn't bad.
It wasn't cringeworthy by any means. It's not like you're talking about the Nut Job or the Emoji Movie. I mean, it was a better than average movie, but I think, like Law always says, I mean, everything's going to be held to the Pixar standard.
Yep.
And my kids have been on a real Inside Out kick lately. And that movie's just fucking incredible versus watching Boss Baby, which is just kind of generic You know, it's a different story, but it just kind of hits all the same notes as you typically will for those kids' movies. So, but enough of those. Enough about kids' movies.
How do you feel about worldwide gross of 2017 being in the top 10 that only has 0.3 box office in the U.S.?
Does that not
shout to you like, why, where can I get this movie? Wolf Warrior 2.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's the Taiwanese movies, the Indian movies, right? The Bollywood movies, should say. I was in an article the other day. It was something posted about how that the Chinese made movies are starting to, in China, actually gross similar to what the American movies are. I have to go back and look at the art. I don't remember exactly what it the final word was, but everybody is stepping up their game now. It's becoming, I think, easier for these other studios to make movies that are, you know, for their own countries, and I think people want to see that. I mean, being in the U.S., I don't know what it's like to see a movie, you know, a foreign movie, besides, you know, some of these independent movies, right?
So you're saying it's basically getting easier to make, like, bigger blockbusters out there.
Right. Exactly. Okay. And, I mean, what's, like, the biggest blockbuster-type movie that you've seen that hasn't been a U.S. release?
I don't know
that I've seen one.
I haven't. Like, that's the thing. We don't get anything over here from... And if you do, it's in a smaller fucking festival. Or bigger festival that you got to... It's... I don't know. It's, I feel like we should get better ones, but that makes me wonder, you know, like you said, it's getting easier for them to make these bigger movies, so maybe now they are... Is it a combination of being able to make them and being better, or is it one more than the other?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've always been able to make really compelling stories. I mean, we all know the Vengeance series, right? I mean, Old Boy and
right.
These Korean movies, they've been able to make these compelling movies, but I don't know. What about, I mean, The Raid? The Raid was a really, really...
See, I think The Raid caught a lot of buzz because that hit the festivals in the U.S. I believe right. That's how that happened. So, unless you can... Well, then, and that just goes to show, you got to first be able to fucking make it and then be able to bring it over here.
Right, and distribute it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not cheap.
Yeah, and I don't know how... Like, what the thought process is of going to a movie and seeing a blockbuster movie that's either dubbed or subtitled, you know? I mean, we see subtitled movies here, but if you're living in Japan or Korea and you're every weekend you're going to see Fate of the Furious that's subtitled or dubbed, you know, do you get tired of doing that, you know?
Right.
I know. I would assume so, but clearly Fate of the Furious is the largest box office or worldwide release ever. So... Which seems ridiculous to say, but
$1 billion overseas.
No, it's crazy.
That is fucking nuts. Wow.
Should we go into some of our divisions here and kind of see talk about the game and maybe the upcoming where we see things panning out here or looking at the matchups moving forward.
We can do that.
One thing I can bring up, we in previous shows we had brought up these kind of monthly scores, what people have been doing through each month. And yeah, the last month we didn't have anything for July and August, but I went back and I calculated the movements of both July and August. So kind of who is trending upwards, who is trending down. And looking at the scores here, Hard Taco Division, even though his shit-talking continues, even though he's in fourth or fifth place. Now, Art actually made a big push in June, or in July and August, with 326 points, and Reed Wilson as well, who moved into second place in the hard taco division.
And that was mostly because July, big fucking numbers in July.
Yep, yep.
Some of the biggest, actually, of the group.
Yep, and that's, you know, a lot of Spider-Man in there, a lot of Dunkirk. And as of right now, in that hard taco division, oh, actually, Reed's actually in first. He actually passed Julian. And old Ed Minkowski making a push here. I don't know if he's going to have it in him to get past Julian, but, you know, he last year put the smackdown on everybody, and, you know, he's one to keep an eye out on. We'll see what he does in the next 2 months. Moving down, let's see, anybody else, other people that scored over 300. Well, your nemesis, Chad C., in the Sasquatch division, and Mr. Drink His Own Piss, Pete N. Both. Pete almost scored over 400 points the last 2 months, which is a huge number for him, and Chad C. as well at 330 points.
Hey, he's a former champion. He knows what the fuck he's doing.
That's right. That's right. We were talking about that. You were listing the former champions. I'd kind of forgotten that Pete won it, even though, you know, maybe because it took him a year, I think, year or plus to get his trophy.
Yeah, flat. Something like that.
Something like that. So, other than that, we've moving down. Let's see, the So Ridiculously Wet division. Nobody scored over 300 in those 2 months, but Alex Keane, who passed you, Kupka, as the overall leader, did score 286 points those last 2 months, which put him over that 982 mark. I think maybe both of you guys will hit the 1,000-point mark come next week. I would assume. I don't know how much you guys are kind of jumping.
Well, I like I said, August was a very shit month. 30 points for me in August, and that's not... I don't see a lot of triple digits, but I also... It's a very... Whew, this is a very... what's the word I'm looking for? Not sporadic. It's just all over the place in terms of points for people. You have everything from, like, 2 points to 100. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it all really... Because it was all... Like I think we said, the Hitman's Bodyguard had some key extras that if you had, I mean, that's probably what your 30 points are coming from, Deborah Rock or some, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody in the Hitman's Bodyguard. And then other people, it's Dunkirk. A lot of people at Idris Elba, you know, July and August, you know, even though it only scored 19 points, but it's still at least pushing them forward. And it'll be, September will be kind of a shit month here. We'll see. I think we'll see a lot more under 100 scores till we hit October. Let's see. Moving down, the soft taco division, very soft. Bill Tremendous, the only one really over 200. Nate Bennett, nothing. I mean, look at that August for that entire division. Bill Tremendous was the only one that scored in triple digits. Everybody else was 60 points and less. Seems par for the course. Crash Bang Wallop, like I said, yours truly scored 350 points. I actually passed Michelle for the lead in that division, knowing, I mean, I had a lot of people in Hitman's Bodyguard and Dunkirk, so really pushed me this past month and through July. And then the last, the Up All Night division, there's actually everybody scored pretty well in that division. Everybody's around that 200-point mark, so they're kind of all rising up collectively in that division. So there, if we go back to Kupka, kind of your, it may be time for you to redo your no points available and pretty much done scores again, you know, your highlights.
Yep.
Maybe August or through September, we'll kind of, we hit another break point, you know.
Yeah. Where, I was thinking about that, and I was going to roll through and kind of knock a few more people off, but yeah, there's some for sure, but they also have like a lot of people left. So that's what I'm kind of going off of until I go back through and see how many actors have been eliminated. So it's kind of a two-step process. But by the end of next month, for sure, we'll be down to the top tier, I believe.
And then it's said when we hit when we hit November, it's essentially Thor, Justice League, Star Wars.
Yeah.
And there'll be a couple little things here and there. So I think after we get through October, we'll know even more. So everybody keep up. Keep letting us know if there's mistakes, if you guys think that you should be getting more points. The more and more I look at this too, Kupka, I think this bonus, this captain's pick may come into play here at the end, which I like a lot. It's going to be very interesting.
The other thing I saw too was with some of these races being pretty fucking close, that freshness rating taking 5 points away from what fucking movie that was. That could hurt.
Transformers and... Yeah. And Pirates, both. Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see.
So, do you want to? Do we want to plug the new and improved website, Kupka, that we dropped?
What? We did what now? Yeah, we finally got introduced to somebody, dude from the stairs, cousin. Antonio, right? Yeah. I think. Yeah. Where's that fucking, Antonio. So thank you, Antonio, again, for doing the fucking little bit of research our dumbasses couldn't figure out and allowing us to basically get this data onto a site so you didn't have to worry about some ridiculously long Google Doc, or any of that kind of shit. So
it also allows us to fuck around in this spreadsheet without you guys kind of seeing the inner workings of everything.
Yes.
Now.
Yes, it's nice. So a little more professional, and it's a good starting point for us because we can now figure out how it's going to look so we can clean it up on our end to, make it as nice and appealing to you folks out there looking at it. I have heard a couple of issues people logging in. I'm not sure if it's your network, the country you live in, the device, I guess retry it a couple times, check your cookies, clear your cache, that kind of thing, reboot your phone, computer, anything, and let us know if you're still having issues, because we do want to figure that out, because like we said, we want to make it easier, cleaner, and more professional looking, because god damn it, believe it or not, we're professionals. So we hope you enjoy it. The URL currently is bingefantasyleague.com. So that's where you can find all the eye candy about the league.
If you can't find it, you can always Google this.
Ooh. I did not know we could do that.
Or, I don't know. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's also on the Facebook page. It's in the... fucking about us thing in the group. So
yep, and it works well. I went onto it via mobile. The mobile version of the site actually works pretty well. With the drop down menus, you can explore all the divisions and all the players or competitors in each division. And Kupka won't say it, but I will say it to everybody. If you want to put in a little bit of a bio, send it to us at bingegamecast@gmail.com, and we'll update the site so that you can kind of put your own words into there rather than either us making one for you or it just being Blake in general. And maybe that's something that we push for next year, especially. But this year, just kind of complete your team profile. It'd be nice to have a couple of words, and it doesn't have to be long-winded, just a couple of words about yourself, and if you want, make shit up. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and if not, like I said, I posted the other day when we launched the site that if you see somebody as blank and you want to bust their balls and write some shit, send it to us. do one, do five, do them all. I don't give a fuck. If multiple people get written about, maybe I'll put more than one. Maybe I'll pick what I think's the best. I don't know. But get those creative juices flowing to bust some balls and send that shit in. So maybe we can create a contest of sorts out of it. So think about that, people. I'm also, I think we got to take it to the entire tribunal. But being that there's only three movies remaining, maybe offering for those people out there who are really out of it. It's kind of that point in the season when you really know you're out of it, like we just discussed. What if we gave some sort of bonus points for accurate final point totals for those movies come end of the year? But they'd have to be directly on, and they could bet any point total they wanted.
Interesting.
So, that's something I'm throwing out there.
Final Jeopardy, almost.
What's that?
Said like a Final Jeopardy.
Yes, that would be the Final Jeopardy. That could give a push. But you'd have to, it would have to be submitted by, you know, November 1st, because that's before the first movie releases. So, we'll discuss. We'll bring Jack into the discussion and let us know what you folks out there think. And maybe there will be a chance for you people to get into that second round.
Yeah.
So. All right. Anything else before we get the fuck out of here? Are you going to see It? Are you excited for It? It seems to be the big buzz right now.
I don't remember even ever watching the old miniseries. I don't know much about it. I mean, I know about it just through...
Pop culture,
thank you.
Yep. All right. Me and you in the same boat then.
Yeah, other than that, I don't know much, but it intrigues me. If I get the time, I will definitely go out and see it. Again, I don't like getting the shit scared out of me in the theaters, but this, if it's more of a kind of a creepy thriller type, where it's not just jump scares a la, you know, bullshit Ring 2 or something like that, I'm always down for a good, suspenseful, creepy thriller. So
did you have a bad experience about getting scared in the theater? Is there a story that you need to tell us here?
Really, like I just mentioned, Ring 2, right? So everybody saw the ring was great, you know, super creepy, super scary. So my wife and I don't even think we were married at that point. When the Ring 2 came out, I'm like, let's go see the Ring 2. So we go in there, I don't know, and 30 minutes into it, you know, I'm shitting my pants, I'm scared out of my ass, and I just, like, look over, and I'm just like, why are we here? When we could be over here, you know, just watching The Dark Knight, or, you know, obviously those don't, just something more kind of big blockbuster movies. Especially in the theaters, I won't go see them. I'll watch them when I'm sitting at home by myself, but my wife will also won't go see them either, so I just don't like getting scared. It is what it is.
All right.
If it's a good movie, I will take it, but I'm like the complete opposite of Ammon, per se. Like, I'm not a horror guy in the least, so I pick and choose my battles when it comes to horror.
Okay, I can respect that. I don't know. Like I said, I'm same in the boat with you. Never saw the miniseries. Only know a Pennywise from, you know, pop culture shit. Never read the book. Haven't listened to GC's review. So I'm really intrigued. And it's a lot of positive buzz from a lot of people. So I feel, though, that it's got to be a week one. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on it might get overhyped or something.
Sure. I mean, it happens to me just over the last couple of years with kids and all that. You know, you see stuff and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Jammed down your throat there, where if you see it first run, you can experience it for your own. And that's what I need to find myself getting out and doing more. So... But yeah, that's for me. This next month, Kingsman is the real big draw, and I'll definitely go see that. And we'll see if I got time for It in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, you'll have time for It. Cool. Well, then with that, let's get the fuck out of here. As always, email us at bingegamecast@gmail.com. I was thinking about this yesterday. I'm never adding another email address, because I'm not keeping track of, like, 35. So it's going to be benchgamecast@gmail.com. You can call in the main show and leave a voicemail for us at 708-406-9546. And you can also hit us up on Facebook, iTunes, leave a review. Find us coming in your ear holes lots. We're pretty much got like everything every day, it seems these days, which is what we want to do. We got a lot of shows. So I don't know if there's going to be a binge cast this week because of Labor Day weekend, but we'll be dropping this shortly. So at least it'll be something for you. So we hope you enjoyed it.
Yes, absolutely. And let us know if there's anything you'd like us to discuss. Topics on this podcast, we're always down, so hit us up on Facebook as well.
Yes, do that. All right, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Later. All right, yeah, one last thing, Kupka.
Yep.
Got a note from Nate Peterson. Yeah, and here it is.
How many BMFMFMFMLFML points do I get for that?
Thank you, Nate. That's all we need to know.
Zero? I'm confused.
Anyway.
Okay. Alright. Weird. That you weirded me out, man. Alright. I'm out of here.
We'll see you later.
Later.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of Super
Bob Odenkirk.